The end of the 22nd chapter of Matthew reads a bit like a tennis match. One side serves, and then the other returns serve, and the volley continues. Back and forth, trying to best their opponent, or at least to hold out until the other side commits an error. On one side of the match, we have the Pharisees and the Sadducees, along with some other nefarious groups thrown in. On the other side, we have none other than Jesus. But really, this match is not fair even from the get-go, seriously weighted in the advantage of the Word incarnate. Last week, we watched on as Jesus deftly handled the Pharisees' questions about taxes. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God. Point Jesus. After that exchange, it was the Sadducees' turn. They were fixated on the afterlife, and in this case, wanted to know whose wife a woman would be in heaven if she had, according to the law, married all seven of a family of brothers while on earth. Jesus took this as an opportunity to educate those who had gathered about the true nature of heaven and the afterlife. And then we come to the verses for today. The Pharisees are back now, giddy that Jesus struck down their arch rivals, the Sadducees, but still hoping to trick him into getting himself into trouble. You have to give them credit for persistence, I guess. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Now, there are 613 commandments in the law, ranging from you shall not kill to you shall not plow with an ox and a donkey yoked together. 613. So you can imagine that those who studied and followed the laws would want to know if there were some that were perhaps a little more important than others. But there was rarely agreement on this point. In fact, some would have even argued that the commandment to wear fringes on their garments was the greatest of the 613. We American Christians in the 21st century, I think, would likely point to the Ten Commandments, which we just heard read. And if forced to choose, may well quote, you shall have no other gods before me. But what did Jesus think? Well, his answer is twofold. He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. Here Jesus shows just how Jewish he was. First, he quotes part of the Shema, or as we know it, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. Named after the first word in the verse, Shema in Hebrew, this was and is the central prayer of Judaism. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Followed by the instruction to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This prayer was and still is recited every day by Jews, multiple times a day. It was on the mind of the Jewish people constantly, a reminder that there is only one God, the God of Israel, and that what God desires most is love. Shira Swartz writes the following of the Shema. The words of the Shema are contained in the parchment within the mezuzah that we affix to the doorposts of our homes and in the phylacteries that we bind to our arm and our heads. While praying, we wear phylacteries as a visible sign that God is close to our hearts and close to our minds to show that our thoughts and emotions are directed toward God. The mezuzah shows that we are secure in God's presence and welcome him always as part of our households, where we try to incorporate God's holy ways. And so the Shema is who we are. It is ingrained in our hearts, our histories, our homes, our souls, and our memories. Everyone has a Shema story, and here is one. A woman sits with her grandchild at bedtime, ready to recite the Shema with her to help her go to sleep feeling loved and protected through the wonderful 3-minute ancient routine. But today she first has a story to tell her. The story began when she was 4 years old. World War II had begun, and her mother smuggled her into a monastery in Lithuania, hoping the nuns there would hide her little Jewish girl until after the war. "I will return," she promised. "But meanwhile, remember you are a Jew, daughter of the chosen nation. They will teach you the ways of a new religion. During the day, keep your Judaism hidden from those who wish to destroy your people. But at night, allow your pure Jewish soul to turn to God with the words of the Shema, and he will send angels to watch over you." The mother never returned, but the girl did not forget her words. And every night she would huddle under her cover and mumble the words of her people. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. One night a man came into the room where the girl slept. He was tall and wore a black hat. He turned to the nuns standing in the doorway and said he had come for the Jewish children. It was time, he said, to take them home. He had to find out who they were first, and so he stood on a chair and turned to them in their beds. And with tears running down his cheeks into his long white beard, he started reciting the Shema. The little girl found herself joining in and soon heard Patricia and Annette and Miriam from the beds nearby, haltingly reciting the words as well. All of those with Jewish souls joined in, and they ran up to him and surrounded him. And so, with hands joined, with tears and song, they left the monastery with this man who returned them to their land, led by the words of the ancient prayer, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. There were perhaps no more important words in all of the Hebrew scriptures. And so Jesus' answer was about as orthodox as they come. But he did not stop there. "And a second is like it," he said. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." In Luke's account of this exchange, the lawyer is the one who provides the answer that Jesus gives here. And then he asks for clarification on who that neighbor is. And Jesus famously answers that question with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Matthew, however, is more direct and has Jesus answer the question himself. In the second part of his answer, Jesus reminds the lawyer of what is written in Leviticus 19:18. "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Ultimately, Jesus raises the love of neighbor to the same level as the love of God. In essence, that claiming to love one is to love the other, a sentiment that will be captured later in 1 John. "Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." Jesus then concludes, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." A definitive summary of the purpose of the 613 laws of the Old Testament, meant to lead God's people to a love for God and to a love for one another. It is especially appropriate, I think, to be reminded of Jesus' words on this Reformation Sunday, which this year includes a significant nod to our Scottish roots. The day we remember and celebrate our heritage, Ecclesia Reformata Semper Reformanda, the Church Reformed, always being reformed. For what had happened time and time again for the Israelites has also happened time and time again for the Church. A slipping away from core values, a picking and choosing of minutiae, and quarreling over who is right and who is wrong, who is in and who is out, on whose side God stands. Martin Luther famously sought to bring the church back to its roots. John Calvin and John Knox attempted the same. Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. On these hang all of the law and the prophets. Today, as we remember and celebrate our history and heritage, we are called to remember our roots our core values, love of God and love of neighbor. All that we do is to be measured by these standards. Are we loving God? Are we loving others? The Pharisees were trying to test Jesus, trying to trip him up and catch him saying or doing something they could use to run him out of town or to kill him. What they got was a formidable foe who understood the scriptures far better than they could have ever hoped. And we are the beneficiaries. For all of these years later, we have a summation of all the laws and all of the prophets by which we can gauge our own faith and our own ministries. Perhaps we would do wise to join our Jewish brothers and sisters in reciting these words daily, constantly reminded of what our God desires for us and from us. As we live our lives and as we unite them in common ministry, let us always remember that greatest commandment: love God and love others. By this we shall be judged, and God willing, by this we shall be known. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.